Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels' feet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later gotta cut you down, sooner or later gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later gotta cut you down, sooner or later gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
When a silent majority allows their nation to lose its common sense, that nation is lost, and you are allowing them to take your country away from you. Is it common sense to adore at the altar of multiculturalism? Read your world history. Not one nation has survived as a multiculture. It's the uniculture that is your strength. One country, one culture, one language. Is it common sense that 84% of the people want to make English the official language of America, but your majority political party espouses insanity, ignores the people, and says no? Is it common sense that 53 countries, mostly in Africa, have declared English to be their national language, and the party who declares we will unite you says press 2 for Spanish? Is it common sense to adopt your new national religion of diversity when the very word means disunity? We founded a country on similarities, not diversities. One country, one culture, one language. You cry out for unity, but is it common sense to continue to identify yourselves by your ethnicities and not your nationalism? White-America, Black-America, Chinese-America, Hispanic-American, Gay and Lesbian-American, the Black Caucus, the Hispanic Caucus, the Women's Caucus. You want unity? Change your language. Isn't it time, once again, we all became just plain Americans? Or is that too much common sense? Is it your new common sense now to stand up and cheer when a presidential candidate wants to hand over the health care system to that same government who has run Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and 12 other entitlement programs into bankruptcy? A government bureaucracy who can't run a railroad, your airports, secure your borders, or find 15 to 20 million illegal aliens? That same government that allows Islamic women to take their driver's license picture wearing a neck scarf covering their face because it offends their belief? What's next? Allowing the Ku Klux Klan wearing their hoods? Is it common sense to bankrupt the American Treasury? fighting wars for countries whose silent majority won't fight for themselves? Your debt is now $9.4 trillion. Is it common sense to continue to give away $9 billion of taxpayer money to unfriendly countries in foreign aid, including $2 billion a year to Egypt, who votes against the United States 80% of the time in the United Nations? All this while your own inner cities crumble. 40% of your high school graduates can only read or write at a fourth grade level. You have to import people from China and India for your high-tech industry because you haven't got enough smart people in America. And New Orleans and the flood victims of Iowa continue to be forgotten. This is madness. Lay down your misplaced global burden and rebuild America first. You can't support the world while neglecting your own country. Are you unifying the country with common sense when both of your presidential candidates cry out, "We must show compassion for the 15 to 20 million invaders from south of your border"? But not one word of compassion for the overburdened American taxpayer who is forced to subsidize the invaders by paying over $250 billion of their hard-earned money to establish America as the welfare department of a failed, corrupt foreign country. Are you unifying your country with common sense by sending out your utility bills and your Social Security checks in Spanish? Legal and illegal immigrants have no incentive to learn your unifying language because you make it easy for them not to assimilate. How many of you write in big letters across that bill, "English only, please," and send it back? Stop bending over.
Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? When Nikita Khrushchev has told his people, he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death, or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shotguns around the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay, there is a point beyond which they must not advance. Winston Churchill said the destiny of man is not measured by material compositions. When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn we're spirits, not animals. He said there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Joseph Gibson from Blog Talk Radio Live. How are everyone tonight? I hope you're doing well, and you're healthy, and you're happy. And you have big plans for the future. Because let me tell you, the future is not always work out the way we plan to have or be. We always make plans, no matter who we are, where we are, or how we are. We always make plans for that future, but it's never the way we imagine it to become or be. I hope I sound well tonight and I'm not breaking up or clicking like I have been in the past couple of shows. I'm sorry for that. However, like I said, you're going to have to bear with me. It's going to be about a week or so before I can finally get this microphone nonsense straightened out. I worked for a couple hours on it tonight, the volume adjustment, to make sure I sounded pretty well. If I sound terrible, then I understand and apologize for that, but try to make out what I'm saying. Those of you who are, hang on, I got someone in the type box now, the chat box. You are not really bad. It's not the microphone. Well, that doesn't do much. I just don't know if you can hear me, that's all. Please. If you can hear me, then that's all that matters. If I'm talking too loud, let me know. I have to adjust the volume of these microphone and this headset to understand what's really happening. And I get very little help out there. So those of you who want to hear the show, then just tell me. I'm breaking up. Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to do this. We're going to go ahead and put a stop to that right now. I figured I'm going to put a stop to it. So if I'm breaking up, no, I don't need more bandwidth. The problem is the freaking headset I'm using. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and we're going to fix that problem right now. And do that right now. Let's see. Okay, here we go. Let's get off this damn microphone.
All right. Now I bet I sound a lot better, right? I'm back on the phone the way I should be. Okay. You hear a little echo. All right, we'll put a stop to that right now, too. All right.
Put a stop to that.
All right, we'll do that right now.
All right.
Okay. Any more echoes now? I hope not. I know we're trying to figure this out, guys. Bear with me, it's a little unprofessional, but you know what? I don't have a professional studio here. Hopefully we've got it pretty much straightened out here. Okay, but we are live on the air. This is Joseph Gibson from Greensboro, North Carolina. I hope everyone can hear me fine tonight. If you cannot, I would appreciate someone clicking on the phone line. I do have control of the studio still. The other studio I closed out with the microphone, the Hi-Fi Def. So if there's a supporter on the line here, I appreciate if you press 1 and I can connect you live on the phone line so I can hear you. Because I do have control of the studio. So the chat box is a little slow and I can't hear it. Can't see it instantly when it pops up. I may be disconnected from the chat box right now, but I am live on the phone lines, you see? And many people do maybe not understand what I'm talking about, but I hope you can hear me because I have no one pressing 1 right now. Can someone please press 1 if they can hear me or connect, please? I'd really appreciate it. Okay, thank you. Hello, you're live on the air. Can you hear me okay right now?
Yeah, your phone is much better than your computer hookup.
Okay, good. That means I got rid of the headset. Okay. The headset, the microphone that was given to me by you, doesn't work very well, obviously. So I'm back on the phone, and you say I sound much better, right?
Yes, you sound much better.
Okay, good. Let's get rid of that damn microphone, then. That thing don't work right.
I think you'll find out otherwise, but you do what you got to do to fix your problems.
That's right, and that's what we're going to do because we want to make it happen. If you can't hear me, there's no point in really having the show. Like you said, you don't want to hear every other word. So I know it sounds better with the microphone, my voice and all, but that's by definition. Maybe it sucks up more bandwidth, and it's not worth it because it's aggravating to everybody. You know what? Change is never good. And I'm going to go ahead and put that in my introduction tonight real quick before I start taking callers. Change is never good. Leave things the way they are. If you started out with something and it was working fine, leave it the hell alone. Stop changing things. And what do we have with our president today in the United States of America? Change. And what do we have now in America? Chaos. We have bullshit, nonsense, gridlock, and total nonsense. Need change. You know what? Let's get back to the way things were. We were all happier years ago, right? Well, change didn't work, did it? We are all much happier when we were younger. You ever heard that expression? When we're young and free. Well, that's because as we get older, we want to start changing things. We're not happy with the way things are. Just leave things the way the hell they are. You know what? If you're happy in the home you're in, keep it. If you're happy in the car you're driving, why do you want something better? Keep it. You're happy the way things are. Change never works. And I kind of demonstrated that tonight on this show. Here I was trying to change the way this show was working. In the past couple weeks, this show was pretty damn good, right? You could hear me just fine. What did I do? I wanted to change to high definition. I wanted to put the headphones on, the microphone. I want to be this, be that. Look what happens. Now my voice is breaking up. You guys can't hear what I'm saying. It becomes aggravating. I'm missing callers. I missed 5 new callers last week on that Friday night show we did where I was breaking up so terribly bad that nobody can hear what I was saying. I missed 5 call-in questions from people who are not supporters of this show. So change is not good. You know what? If it's working, if it's not broken, leave it alone.
You're on a cordless phone. You're on a cordless phone. You're on a cordless phone now, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I can tell.
But you can hear me, right?
Yeah, it's much better than the computer because the computer is not using the bandwidth. If you turn the other computers off on your network, you could go back on your computer and it would sound just fine. You need more bandwidth. It's not the headphone set because you're on the cordless phone, which consumes bandwidth even if you're not using it. And everything that you have on the network is consuming bandwidth. And if you refresh a web page or do anything, it consumes even more. Your voice over IP, which you're using, will consume just about your entire DSL line.
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying, but when I was on the headphones, I closed. I only had 2 computers running. And I have to have 2 computers running because I have to have one with the headphones, and I got to have one with my studio because the headphones don't work on the other computer. And the thing, and I have to log in on the other computer because that's where all my blah, 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 blah is. You know what I mean? And I have to, like, log in there because that's where my studio is, and that's where all my callers pop up on. So maybe you're right. I'm not getting enough bandwidth. But like I said earlier, in previous week, we didn't have this problem where I was breaking up and people couldn't understand what I was saying. You understand what I'm saying?
Right, yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying, but I don't know if you had 2 computers running all the time. I don't know if someone else got a new network device that you're using on your network. I have no idea what's going on. I'm just telling you the way things work, you know?
No, I understand that. And you know what? I know you don't like cell phones yourself, but you know what? I sounded 100% better. Like, for instance, when I interviewed Alex, my nephew, and your daughter's son, you know, on this show, I sounded perfect. I archived those shows, and I was listening to them today, and I was on a cell phone during those interviews, and you know what? It sounded pretty darn good. But everyone recommends that you go onto a headset with a microphone. Yeah, because it's high definition. Well, what's the kickback for that? What's Blog Talk Radio getting for me to go high def? We don't know. You know, all I know is the way things were, and before we do that stupid change nonsense, things sounded pretty good the way they were. So I'm more like, you know what, if it's not broken, leave it alone. You know?
Yeah, well, what you need is a regular old phone line out there or another connection or a cable modem, and you'll be all set. You could go on, get like Magic Jack like I got, and put the headphones on, and you can walk around with the phone in your pocket because that works. And I've also found out with Magic Jack that you cannot call into TalkShoe with Magic Jack, but they charge you an additional 3 cents a minute.
Wow. See that? There's a catch to everything. There's a gimmick to everything. But anyway, you know, I want to get back to the introduction real quick. And, you know, that was pretty good, this first introduction. But, you know, I think it was you that asked me about the Monday Morning Quarterback show I do on Mondays. And that show was the highest rating show I ever had. And I just want people to know, when football season starts, we will do Monday Morning Quarterback at 12 noon on Mondays, and we will talk about the Dallas Cowboys, because the Dallas Cowboys is my team, and it just happens to be America's team. And we're going to discuss, you know, Sunday's football game. I know a lot of you may not be interested in that. However, I am. I do enjoy some entertainment, and there's a lot of you who obviously do, because I had more hits on that show than I did in all the other shows combined. So just let people know, Monday Morning Quarterback will resume next Monday at 12 p.m., and Monday Morning Quarterback, we will discuss and analyze the Dallas Cowboys and the game they had on Sunday. And if any other NFL supporters or teams of supporters or supporters of other teams want to call in and make a comment, hey, go ahead, call me. I don't mind. But tonight, we're discussing understanding the times in which we live in today. And that's what this show is about, and that's what I broadcast on 7:30 p.m. And we have serious problems in America right now. We have the stock market that has slightly rebounded today, and everybody was in panic mode in the last couple days because the stock market was crashing. Now, what do you or anyone else out there make of this nonsense? Because it is nonsense. I don't trade with Wall Street, but Wall Street trades with me. You may say, what the hell are you talking about? Okay, let's get it straight here real quick, and we're not going to get into a real, you know, money mechanics discussion, because some of you will not understand anything I'm talking about, but some of you will. Okay? My name is Joseph. Let's just put it this way in simple terms. My name is Joseph Gibson, and I have a Social Security number. And I was born with a birth certificate. And on every birth certificate, on the right-hand corner, there are a series of numbers. Okay? They're usually in red. Okay? If you go to a stockbroker, you used to be able to do it yourself. I'm not sure if you still can today. But you used to be able to go to Fidelity.com and type, and they will give you the instructions on Fidelity.com. You type those numbers from your birth certificate into Fidelity.com, and you will see how much you are worth on Wall Street. You'll say, now, what the hell is he talking about? Let me explain to you the day you were born. You were born with $685,000 in your TBA account. Look up TBA, but I'm not going to get into that, because that involves your Social Security number, and that is a whole another 45 minutes of me trying to explain to you what a TBA account is. But you have a Social Security number. That's called a TBA account. Now, you were born with $685,000. That's why the day you were born, some people, when they're born, they're able to collect Social Security and whatever benefits, blah, blah, blah. You're able to collect these benefits. People say, how could you collect Social Security when you never paid into it? Well, you can, because you're born with $685,000, and Wall Street investors are trading with that $685,000 as you and I speak today. Okay, again, let's get back to the original bottom line here. My name is Joseph Gibson. I am worth such and such amount of money on Wall Street because I was born with a TBA account. I started out with $685,000. I went to work at such and such a place. I am a human resource when I go to work and I start filing income tax. Your Social Security number then becomes a part of the IRS, okay, and that the Federal Reserve Collection Agency system, all right? Federal Reserve is not part of the federal government. It's a private entity. It's no more federal than Federal Express, like they like to say, okay? So Wall Street trades with you, your name. That's why when you receive a bill in the mail, if you receive a bill, your name is in all large capital letters, because you are an entity, you are a corporation. That's why on your driver's license, your name is all capital letters. That's why on your birth certificate, your name is in all capital letters. That is why when you get your electric bill in the mail, your name is in all capital letters. That's why when you get your cell phone bill in the mail, if you get it in the mail or whatever bill you get in the mail, it's in all large capital letters because you're in commerce. When you were in kindergarten or in first grade or second grade, third grade, when you learned to read and write, did you spell your name in all large capital letters, folks? No, you did not. Your first letter was in capital, right? Like my name, Joseph. J was capitalized, correct? Then O-S-E-P-H, Joseph. The rest of the letters were spelt in lower cap. Until I got to my last name, then the first letter was G, Gibson, large capital. Then smaller caps after that, correct? Well, how come when you get a bill in the mail, your entire name is in all large capital letters? Because you are a corporation now. Because you are a corporate entity. Now, many of you don't understand being a human resource. And I'm not going to dedicate this entire show tonight to going into that because many of you will fall asleep because you don't understand modern money mechanics. If you did, you wouldn't be going to work tomorrow morning worrying about paying bills. Yes, I worry about paying bills sometimes myself. I fall into that trap because, you know what? I don't really want to make waves. I just want to go along to get along just like you because I have, you know, two children now. But those of you who are fed up with the bullshit and the nonsense and you don't have anyone depending on you, and there are people out there in society doing it today, you can make waves. And you know what? You don't have to pay those bills you think you have to pay. You can stamp them called accepted for value. Look it up. They'll teach you how to do it. But you first have to become a sovereign citizen. Now, I know the media has labeled sovereign citizens as wackos, but it's all true. Okay? Because if you become sovereign and you break away from your contractual obligations from the United States Corporation, you can actually be free from all debts, and you'll never have to pay for anything again. Now, can you walk into Walmart and fill your grocery basket up and walk out? No. All right? Don't be silly. But you can obtain your electricity for free. You could obtain many other things, we're not going to get into it today, for free, which you are entitled to because you don't have real money. Go back to House Resolution 192. All debts are null and void because gold and silver is legal tendered according to the United States Constitution. However, it's illegal to pay your debts with gold and silver, so therefore you are given Federal Reserve notes, receipts. You're given a receipt. So, when I come with a $20 bill, hey, you notice how we call them $1 bill, $10 bill, $20 bill? Why would I give you a bill? Figure it out. Why would I give you, Joe and Meredith, a $20 bill? Why would I give you a bill?
Because the United States filed bankruptcy a long time ago, and there really isn't money?
That's right. So I'm giving you a bill, right? I'm giving you a bill, and what happened?
Right.
That bill now turns into a receipt, because that's why they're called receipts. You see? Because debt, you have to have debt, because like you said, the United States does not have any money anymore. So
right,
people are saying, go ahead, Joe, I'm sorry.
And if there wasn't any debt, there wouldn't be any money, or so-called money, because nobody would owe anything. So the more debt we have, the better off we are.
Exactly. So when you walk into a bank and you go to get, like you know a little bit about this, tell people about getting a mortgage and whatnot. You don't walk into a bank to get a mortgage, you walk in to give a mortgage, right?
Exactly, because when you sign the note to purchase your house, that money wasn't even in existence until you signed your name. And when you signed your name, the money then sprang into existence all of a sudden out of thin air, and the bank got it. And when the bank got that money, they didn't give you the money, that's for sure. What they did is they gave you a check, which you deposited in their bank, which in turn, they fractionally reserved it to 10 times or more its value to lend out to other customers. And as far as I know, it's also against all banking policy to debit any account less than zero. In other words, if you overdraft your checking account, it can never go below zero legally. They say it does, and you owe them $35, $65, and that's against banking practices.
Correct. But people don't know that, you see.
That's
and,
right. They,
and
that's
a lot
right.
of people
they,
have gotten out of their mortgages because of that. They walk in there and say, you know what, show me the note. And they can't produce the note because you created the note with your signature.
Well, that was a big thing in 2008 with all these fake notes going on. They were paying people $10 an hour to sign their name as quick as they can and just creating fake deeds, fake mortgages, fake everything. And I don't think they still figured it out.
No, they haven't. They haven't. And you know what? None of us will ever figure it out.
To say thank you, Barney Frank and Dodd, was it the Dodd-Frank bill, right? They took care of that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Barney Frank.
I bet you they took care of themselves real well.
Oh, yeah. It's a big scam. It's a big lie. And people say, well, I remember I got into an argument with somebody. He said, well, you know what? The bank was good enough to lend me the money to get my car. It's the Christian thing to do, to just pay them back. Is it the Christian thing to do to create a lie and then go along with the lie for money that is created out of nothing that eventually, in the end, hurts people? Is that the Christian thing to do?
But the thing is, you see, no one really knows what you're talking about, or lots of people don't know what you're talking about, and they can't grasp that situation because they never grew up that way. And it shouldn't be for free. You should have to pay them back something. But again, it goes back to what I said weeks ago. America is a good country to live in because we made this system the way it is, and everybody's benefiting from it. You know, other countries don't have it like us, so it's actually working. But what's messing everything up is people just taking advantage of it left and right. Like I said, the Dodd-Frank bill, that 2008 scandal and everything, they're just screwing us over.
Yeah. Well, I have 336-235-5237, and that's got a 1 next to it, so I'll connect her if she has something to say. I'm going to try to connect her. Hello? Well, it's connecting. It's trying to. I may have a screwed-up connection here. I hope not. Hello? Are you on? 235-5237. Are you there? Maybe not. Sorry.
It could have been a call from last week, just popping in.
Could be, I guess.
You never know the way things work. Well, I'll tell you, I went back down the back today. I got my new ATM cards in the mail.
For two new accounts.
And, you know, it says you can either call this number or you could go use them in an ATM or whatever to activate them. Well, I went down to the bank because I wasn't going to call anybody because I don't use the phone if I can help it. So I went down to the bank. I went down to the bank and I stood in line, and I went up to the teller, and they have the teller machines right in front of the window now. So I went up, and the first card I tried, it didn't work. So she's tried to help me to get through it and everything. The card didn't work. So then I tried the second card, and that card didn't work either. So now I had to go sit down and wait because I had to have someone help me. And what I did is I tried to get as much time with her as I possibly could. I told all kinds of stories and everything else and everything. They couldn't wait to get rid of me. You know, I'm taking up all their time. So, and then I had one more question for her, and I had to go to the window where she was and everything, and I wanted to get cash out, and I couldn't get cash out because she wouldn't give me cash at her window because...
Really?
You know, she's a special teller. She doesn't give out cash. So I took another 20 minutes of her time standing there talking to her and everything else, you know, saying, Jesus, look at this line. There's four people in here. There's four people standing in line. I'm going to be here for another 15 minutes talking to you. Well, she gave me the money.
Really?
So, yeah, just give him the money and get him out of here. We don't want him in here talking, because he's already been in here for an hour and a half twisting our ear. We don't want him. Get rid of him. And I'm telling you, that's what you do. I use their time, because they can't get that back.
Y'all.
Well, you're right. And like you always say, waste as much time as possible. And you know what? They'll probably leave you the hell alone after that.
Well, they did. She gave me my money and told me to be on my way. I said, thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know I got 262 on the line. I'm going to see if I can connect him, because we're having major connection problems. That's because I flipped over, and I should have just started out with the phone to begin with. I'm sorry, everyone else dropped. I dropped like 10 callers by switching over like that, and I wish they'd call back in, but oh, well. Anyway, here we go. 262, go. I'm going to try to connect you. Okay. Hey, Mike, hey. Are you on the line?
Yep, I'm here. Can you hear me?
All right, I can hear you. Thank you.
I just wanted to tell you guys a little something that happened to me two nights ago.
Sure.
I have a hard time sleeping at night, so, you know, I'm up watching TV. And it was just a little bit after midnight, and I get a phone call. And I'm like, who's calling me after midnight?
Yeah.
And I pick up the phone and say hello, and of course there's nothing there. So I know right away that it's a telemarketer, because they're waiting for their computer to kick in.
Yeah.
Anyway, this person started asking me questions and stuff, and I was like, no, wait. Who are you? And she gave me some ding-dong name, because she was from the Philippines. That's where she was calling from. And I says, do you know you're calling Wisconsin at 12 midnight, which basically is against the law?
You're right, Mike, it is.
Yeah, and I says, you know,
it is.
I don't know what you want, but regardless, you know, I don't want it. Because, you know, if you can't call me at a decent hour, you know, why am I even going to talk to you? She goes, well then, let me call you tomorrow. I says, no. I says, you had your chance. And I hung up on her.
Good for you, Mike.
You know where this stuff is coming from. It's coming from our government. And what I did today is I had a half an hour of free time. Imagine that, a half an hour to myself. Well, if you remember Captain Kangaroo from on TV, he dresses up like a coachman on a train and stuff like
right.
that. Well, I got a picture of him that I got, black and white with teddy bears, and he's talking on the phone, and it's like he just saw a ghost or something. Ooh, and his face like that. And I put that picture down, and I put that on a piece of 8.5-inch paper. And then I wrote on top of that, I put no borders, no language, no culture. Barack, insane, Obama, government zero, destroy everything that's decent. and that's exactly what Barack Obama is doing. Barack, insane, Obama. He's destroying this country. He's transforming it all right. You know, he didn't say anything about that stuff that happened in France or whatever. The French president had to get up and thank those people on the subway or whatever happened over there. Our own president, but he'll light up the White House for gay people. It tells you what he's up to.
True, that's true.
Yeah, this is going to be strange, because, you know, today he endorsed Biden for to run for president.
Yeah, Joe Bite Me.
Excuse me.
Joe Bite Me. That's his name.
Joe Bite Me.
Yeah.
Crazy Uncle Joe. And, you know, the thing is, I just don't understand how people can look at the way they're doing things and figure that it's a correct way to do it. You know, our country is, like, just like Joey said, look at the stock market. I mean, it dropped over 1,000 points, you know, in one morning. And, you know, if they didn't shut it off, it would have kept going.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know what to say. Why can't we wake up and smell the coffee?
Because if you knew the stock market was going to drop that much and you knew what time it was going to drop, you could have made yourself a fortune. And if you knew when it was going to go back up, you could have made another fortune. You know, they had a movie like this years back on TV. People were selling orange juice futures, and they knew exactly what they were going to do. Like I said this before, there's a little bit of truth.
Are you talking about Eddie Murphy Trading Places?
I have no idea what I'm talking about. It was two old men. It was two old men, and they were trading orange juice stock or something.
Mortimer, and their name was Duke. Their last name was Duke.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, Mike, I think they know what's going on, and they're just they're making a killing, is what they're doing. You know, somebody's making money on this. You know, but. You know, and all the people that sold, it was going down, whatever, now they lost. And, you know, but if you knew what was going on, you'd have it made.
And there are people
that knows what's going on. You know, when I was, I worked with microfilm, not microphone, microfilm years back. And one of the accounts that I had to do was a Southern New England telephone company. And I used to have to go, repair the microfilm machines. And those machines, what they did is, of course, with computers nowadays and everything, it's online and it's a little bit easier. But if you knew somebody's name, you could look them up in the phone book and find their telephone number. Or if you had a phone number, you could look it up on the microfilm and find the person's name. And these things were printed new every single day for the entire state. So if you happen to see a number and you didn't know, you know, who that number belonged to, if you had the correct information, boy, you could probably make a fortune. And the same thing holds true, I think, with the stock market and all that. If you know what's going to happen, you can make a lot of money. And it's really not about the money, I guess, but it is. It's more about the control, because, you know, if you can buy so much stock of a company, then you control the company. And you know what? That company may be all set to buy out some other company. And, you know, it's just a twisted web we weave when we first start to deceive.
But who's the one that got hurt on this drop? It was people with the IRAs and the 401ks and... You know, the innocent people.
Yeah, well, I said this a couple of weeks ago. All your 401ks and everything is going to be just like Greece and everything. They're all going to disappear. They're going to take them. You know, it's not going to be the government bailing everyone out now. It's going to be us bailing everyone out.
What happens now if you want to cash in your 401k? What's the penalty? Does anyone know?
Well, there's all different kinds of 401ks and everything. And if you're working for a company and you have a 401k, they won't let you cash it in. Number one, you have to quit your job. You have to quit, well, providing you're not of age. But you have to quit your job in order to cash it in. And so if you quit your job and you cash it in and you're not disabled or handicapped, you're going to end up paying 30% of what you get for taxes.
Wow.
And there goes all your profit.
Yeah, right, Mike? Yeah.
If it wasn't matched by your employer, you'd lose more than what you put in, probably. You should have paid taxes on it to begin with.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
And there are all kinds of 401ks out there, all kinds of retirement plans. I shouldn't say 401ks. And you can invest in stocks. You can invest in real estate. You can invest in anything. And some of them, they don't tell you that you can't take the money out, even when you cash out. You have to take it out over a 5, 10, or longer year period. Every year they'll send you a percentage. So you still can't get the money out.
Yeah, I know. So what do you do? I mean, you know, this is your money. So what do you do? Go without?
You're not going to argue with these people, that's for sure. What do? You're going to have to research it and listen to people like me and you and Mike right now when you're younger and get the hell out of this nonsense that doesn't work. You know what's good? Money in your pocket. That's what's good. Money in the bank, it's almost as good as in your pocket, but you know what? The bank may close the doors tomorrow and you'll never get it.
Yeah. You're right. So money in your pocket right now, because if the dollar crashes, though, money in your pocket ain't even going to be really any good. You're going to need what? tangible assets, right?
Well, that is true, tangible assets. But everyone today knows what a dollar is and everything. And if the dollar crashes, you know, there'll still be people out there, I think, accepting it for something because they're going to be hoping it comes back.
Yeah.
But just like every fiat currency since the beginning of time has failed and crashed. And we said it before, it's because we're the world reserve currency, and that's what's propping us up. And China's starting to put the shebang on that.
Yeah, and once they start, as of right now, they're actually dumping the U.S. dollar. We're just not feeling the pain yet from that.
That's true.
Well, I don't know, guys, but unless you want to talk about something else, hey, we pretty much sucked up a whole hour and 20 minutes already. We got 40 minutes left. I don't like to use the whole hour and a half, but if someone else, that's only for extras who like to come on, but unless you have something else to say, Joe from Meriden, Mike out in Wisconsin, hey, we'll go ahead and schedule tomorrow night's broadcast unless you got something else important to share tonight.
I got nothing else to share. I could always talk about something. But,
I know that.
You know, if we want to end the call and Mike doesn't have anything to say, you know, that's fine with me.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, I know my other supporter, Joe in Florida, didn't call in tonight. What's going on with that? Is he okay?
Yeah, he knew the time I called him. But, you know, he's getting kind of combobbled on the times.
I put the schedule out there for everyone, 7:30, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays, you know.
Yep.
He could be watching combat, you know, Mike.
did you get
that notice that was sent to you?
Yeah, but he's almost given up on his computer.
No. These are DVDs, Mike.
Oh.
Combat from 1962.
Yeah, but how about
can't hear anything you're saying there, Joe. You're breaking up so bad I can't hear anything.
Oh, hey, Mike, how about Jeannie? Do you think we can get Jeannie on here?
Gee, I don't know. You know, maybe I'll call Jeannie because tomorrow's my mother's birthday. Maybe I'll call her and talk to her about that and maybe see if she can log on sometime.
Well, we want to get the astrology aspect of everything on here like you talked about, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't understand why, you know, she wouldn't want to. I mean, I would love to have her talk about a little bit about astrology because she's really good on it.
Yeah, that's what you said. I'm going to send her one more email. I mean, what is she, living in a cave or something?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's, I don't know.
I know, Mike.
I reserve my right.
You want to plead the fifth on that one, huh?
Yeah, that's it.
But, what it is, Mike, what I'm trying to say is I'm getting a little frustrated because I'm reaching out to her. She's really good at it. You know what? Hey, come on, and let's support the family. She can come on family night, you know?
Yeah, well, I agree. Just like my father, I mean, when he told that story last night, you know?
Yeah.
About, you know, being on the boat and everything else.
Yeah, there's something I wanted to say about that, and I forgot. Because Betty, I was talking about Betty, but I wanted to tell him, you know, whatever goes around comes around. The guy got what he was dishing out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, and he used to tell me that there were so many sea snakes in the water.
Yeah.
That if you fell in the water, you were history.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. See, that's something people want to hear, you know, Mike?
Well, I've never lived in Saudi Arabia and hit the review. You know, Jason probably has a bucket of sand.
Listen, 336-235-5237. It's got a question mark. I'm going to try connecting her one more time.
Hello. Hey.
Yes, finally.
Hey.
I tried connecting you before, and there was no answer.
Well, it kept telling me I was on, and it kept telling me I was off, and it kept saying try again.
Listen, if you press one time, you're on. If you press it again,
yeah,
you're
but
off.
When you kept, I did. I pressed the one on, and I could hear you ask me if I'm on, and I couldn't get through.
All right. Well, that's because I got a lot of callers.
So I pressed it. It was whenever you were all jarbled up, I pressed the one because I was going to tell you you were breaking up.
Yeah.
And then
doing now?
I waited a few minutes and I couldn't get through. So I turned around, hit the one and told me I was off. And I hit the one again and told me I was back on. It was going to let you know, I guess it's a box or something that tells you I'm on.
Yeah. How am I sounding now? Okay.
You break up every now and then.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. I don't know what
yeah.
to do. But anyway, what do you got to say tonight?
What I wanted to ask you, because I was listening to your father talk about things, and I was listening to Michael about his phone call from that telemarketer, and he's right, because you get that pause, so you know it's a telemarketer, because I got a couple today. But I wanted to ask you something. This is going to sound dumb, but on Facebook, you know, I'm a Cowboys fan, and I do that Cowboys thing. I click in, so I join their little group, and then Troy Aikman gets in there and does his little thing.
Yeah.
Well, 2 days ago, Troy Aikman posted his rookie card.
Yeah.
I posted, hey, I have that card. Nice card. Okay? 2 days later, which is today, just before your show went on, my phone beeped. And it said, Cowboys legend Troy Aikman has a reply for you. And it said, Debbie Lewis, good job. Nice.
Really?
Yes.
That means Troy Aikman actually replied to you.
Yes, that's what I was wondering if it was really true, because he did say he might not get to all his posts in one day, but he will eventually respond if it's something interesting to him.
Well, I guess
yeah,
that was
did,
interesting to him, because
you know
what?
that he lives over here in Burlington, Wisconsin?
He does?
Yep.
Oh,
really?
Wow, we have to go to Wisconsin.
He has a little house out there, you know, that Debbie Lewis in North Carolina, you know that?
Really?
Yeah, he has a little house out there in Wisconsin.
Wow. Wow. We definitely have to go to Wisconsin then. I always wanted to go through Oklahoma anyways.
Haven't you met Troy Aikman, though? Didn't you ever meet him?
Yeah, Jason and I did down in Texas.
All right, so you met him and you shook his hand before, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I never got the chance to meet him.
Well, no, we met him in Texas because they get to come to the fence, and the hotel told us when all the Cowboys were coming in, and he was one of the last three. It was Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman, and Michael Irvin were the last three to come in.
Wow.
So you actually went to Texas to see him? What play?
Yes. Yeah, we went to Texas. It was a Christmas present to Jason and I back in 1998. It was a conference game between the Redskins and the Cowboys. And, of course, the Cowboys won. They won the conference that year.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Nice. The only time I went to Texas was to get vaccinated.
That's why you're nuts.
Well, the truth of the matter is, see, I was going to go work in Saudi Arabia as well. And I got taken to Texas, and they filled me full of all kinds of vaccines.
Jesus.
Hey, Mike, that's a good question for your dad. When he was in the Navy communications there, what did they pump him up with? We'd
Air
like
Force.
To hear about that, you know?
Air Force.
I don't know. He was...
Air Force, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he was on a boat, he told me. And, you know, but I think the boat was stationed, you know, along the... U.S. border.
No, it was stationed along the northern African border near Egypt and Saudi Arabia.
Really? Well, then...
That was his job, I thought.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that was...
If I remember correctly.
His job was in the Arabian Gulf. That's where
right.
that was out on a boat, yes.
Well,
yeah.
Well, you see, we don't need to be talking about him like he's in past tense. You see, shame on him. He should be on the line tonight. I'm going to call him and let him know about it.
Yeah, well, the other question is, since you talked to Alex, and I guess apparently you guys had a show before he went into the Army.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
What was he vaccinated? Did he get multiple vaccinations?
Oh, yeah. They
already?
Shot him up with multiple. Yeah, we did a show the night before he left that when I was back then. We had him on, and I wish everybody would have called in, you know, because they could have said goodbye to him. And
I know. I was at work, and by the time I tuned in, you're already off.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
You know, but he was live on the air with us, and it was great. Everybody got to talk to him. Red from Frankfurt was on, and, you know, a lot of people were on, and it was great. So, but there were a lot of people
but
that should have been on, and they weren't.
Has anybody heard from him since he's been in boot camp?
I got a text message from him last weekend. He said, my drill sergeant doesn't know I'm on the phone right now, so I got to be careful, but hello.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think
he's okay.
Oh, yeah. If he's in boot camp, he's 100% safe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's not fighting.
Okay.
It's after he graduates and he gets sent off someplace.
I know.
That's what you got to worry about.
I know. I know. One of Cassandra's old boyfriends are now stationed in Hawaii with his wife and child, and they're really, he really seems like he's enjoying, he's making a career out of the Army. He's been in it forever, because he's been in it since the girls were in high school and they graduated, because they all graduated together.
That's
he's making
Alex
a career out of it.
And what are their names?
In Hawaii, I'd go too.
Yeah, well, that's Adam French. I don't know if you remember Adam or not, Joe.
Yeah, Adam French. I remember Adam.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, he made a career out of the Army.
Really?
Yes. He's got a little boy the same age as Lydia. Lydia and him
But him and his wife got divorced, I thought.
Yeah, he remarried.
Yeah. So how's it? Where's Adam now? He worked for me.
He's in Hawaii. He's stationed in Hawaii.
Wow. He worked for me, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Yeah, he's doing really good.
He needs a
he
call
got
into
cut,
this
yeah.
show.
Yeah, I know. Because I know that his sister just went over to Hawaii and spent a week with him.
Yeah, because he got divorced from his wife, I remember.
Right, and then he remarried. He remarried a nice girl. His first wife, forget it. But he did remarry a nice girl, and he does have custody of his son.
Yeah, because his wife ended up cheating on him while he was away.
Right. You know? Right, yeah. He was over in where was he, in Iraq?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well.
I mean, I don't know, do you think, Alex, I mean, where would he be going? I mean, it'd be nice if he got stationed in North Carolina in Camp Lejeune.
Well, we don't know. We'll find out, I guess, sooner or later.
I know. Either that or if he got stationed in someplace like Greece, because you remember David, our cousin. I don't know. David, he lives in Texas.
Yeah.
The one that came that you saw here near Christmas time, he got stationed in Greece.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe, Alex can get someplace. I hope he gets someplace nice. I just pray for that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I hope Granny's doing well. We'll continue to pray for her. Anyone else got anything to say? Because I'm going to start getting ready to wrap it up.
Is Granny on?
No.
Did Granny listen?
Listening.
No.
She's listening.
She's listening?
She hasn't pressed one, so.
Oh, okay. All right.
She's a little tired tonight, but that's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to give her a quick call after your show anyways to check on her.
Well, she just pressed one. She just did.
She did.
All right. We'll drag the show on.
Okay. Go right ahead.
Hang on. I'll put her on right
hey,
now.
Hey, Mom.
Hang on. She's not on yet.
Okay.
Hang on.
Okay.
There. Now she's on.
Hey, Mom.
Hi, Deb. Hi, everyone.
Hey.
You doing okay now?
Oh, yeah. I just had a dish of ice cream.
Good for you.
Everyone who doesn't know, this is a woman who had a stroke on Friday night at 11 p.m. Who's home now.
Eating her ice cream.
I've already eaten it.
Good.
Probably now
good.
Now I'm going to have a peach.
Hang on, Joe's got something. Go ahead, Joe.
I say she was probably waxing her floors today.
I was going to do that, but I says, tomorrow I'll do it.
Yeah,
good for you. What kind of ice cream? What kind of ice cream, Mike wants?
I would never buy it again. Chocolate cookie, vanilla cookies, or vanilla
cookies and cream?
Huh?
Is it that cookies and cream ice cream?
Yeah. Oh, man. It was gross. I didn't even finish it. It's right here in front of me.
when Melody came out to Connecticut, I used to rave about Breyers because, it's made right there in
in Connecticut. And
right.
She hated Breyers. She,
I never liked Breyers either. I
yeah,
liked
Hood. She just said too foamy.
I agree.
When I make my own ice cream, it tastes nothing like you can buy in the store.
Do you make it out of snow?
Yeah, I know. But Joe and Meriden, we don't have 8 hours today to make ice cream.
It doesn't take 8 hours. All it takes is a little cocoa and cream or vanilla beans if you're making vanilla. It doesn't take any time at all, hardly.
Hey, Mom, there's something for us to do when I come up in October.
Yeah,
make some ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, the heck, I know Melody.
We have enough of work, but we'll just go buy it.
Listen, I know on the farm, Melody used to make us, if we wanted soda to drink, she had a soda machine. And we used to have to make our own soda, and it actually tasted pretty darn good.
Yeah, it's probably better for you, too, if you use pure cane sugar.
Mike, what was that soda we used to make?
I bought a big ginger root today, and I'm going to make ginger ale this weekend.
All right.
Mike, no, I got a question for Mike Melody.
Yeah,
what was that soda we used to make?
I don't remember the name. Melody, do you remember that machine we used to have that made soda? It was from Schwann's.
Yes.
Soda Stream?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was from Schwann's. I don't think it was Soda Stream. Melody's saying yes, but...
I had a Soda Stream. I gave it away a month ago because I never used it.
Wow.
So, what do you got to do, Joe? Do you got to get up and milk the chickens before you make your ice cream?
Well, only if you want the cream.
Jeez.
Mike, let's not forget, whose birthday is it tomorrow, Mike?
Yeah, I know, it's my mother's birthday.
Go ahead, announce it, go ahead, for everyone, go ahead.
Oh, the other thing too, Mom, today was 27 years that Uncle Charlie's been gone.
What happened?
The 25th.
Yeah.
I want to interrupt Mike, though. Mike, go ahead, Mike, it's, go ahead. Tell everybody whose birthday it is tomorrow, what day and what year and whatever have you. Go ahead.
Well, tomorrow is my mother's birthday and your grandmother's birthday.
Yep.
And
yep.
Joey's mother as well, and then my sister Jeannie that, of course, lives underground.
Yeah, who's never on the show.
Yeah.
So just want to remember my mom on her birthday. I sent out a bunch of stuff on Facebook, and
I like the picture, Michael, that you put out when she's in her uniform.
Yeah, the white uniform.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yes. Because she's the reason why I'm a nurse.
Well,
she
did something good.
She's the reason why I'm a nurse.
I posted two pictures to your email, Mike, and I don't know if they came out or not.
Oh, I haven't looked.
Yep, but I remember her, Mike. I do think about her.
Yeah, it's just
terrible. she was always good to me.
Yeah.
No matter what, she was always good to me.
And
I can never say anything bad.
Yeah. You know who else has been into Hawaii?
Who?
Darren.
Yeah, we know. He spent all your mother's money in Hawaii.
Jeez.
He blew through $36,000.
In Hawaii.
Well, that's what they do.
Jesus.
He'll find out when he gets older. Money isn't all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, you know what? He has to live with those demons every day for the rest of his life. Until he repents.
Yeah, and he's... Right now, he's on such substance that, what do they say? You got to bottom out before you can, accept help? Well, he hasn't
bottomed out yet, Mike?
No, he hasn't.
That's odd.
Michael, is he homeless? Because I've seen something posted about him living. Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. I seen him post something, because I friended him when your mom passed away. And I sent him, I explained who I was and everything, and sent my sympathy to him and everything. And I kind of now, every now and then, I'll see him pop in. And he looked like he said he was homeless. you know, living in some kind of, I think it was Colorado the last time I heard.
Right, he's still in Colorado, yeah. And he got my mom's car out of the deal, and he was living in that for the longest time, and I believe, I might be wrong, but I believe he sold the car to get some substance.
Yeah.
You know? And
that's a shame.
Now that the car is gone.
Wow.
You know, he's trying to grab any friend or old girlfriend or anything else that'll, you know,
put him up.
Yeah, whatever.
Jeez.
Well,
I know.
Listen, we know the problem with drugs, and you know what? We've all experienced it in our life one way or the other, but we came through it. And those of you cannot, then, you know, there's only one place for you. Jails, institution, or death. So you only have one of three ways to go, you know?
Yeah.
I know, it's a shame.
I'd sure love it if he, you know, if the cops just arrested him, you know, and put him in jail and made him dry himself out, you know?
But that's
not the way it should be. Jail's not going to help him. It's only going to make him worse. What he needs to get rehabilitated, put in a spot to actually fix him. Jail's just going to make him worse.
See, that's what I don't understand. If they have a drug issue and they get arrested, they do throw him in jail. Why don't they put him in some kind of an institution to dry them out and help him?
Right.
Well,
when they put him in jail, he learns all the other bad stuff that he didn't even know before he went in.
Right.
I mean, just
that's
read a copy
saying.
Of my book. Didn't anybody read my book?
Yeah, I did. And believe it or not, Cassandra and Sabrina read it, too.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, Cassandra and Sabrina read it.
I gave little Joey's book to Darren, and he never gave it back. So,
yeah.
Oh, gee.
But Melody read Joey's book, and she was just like, you know, her jaw was like on the floor.
Yeah.
How can a person go through that?
I know.
You know?
I know. We're grateful that things have moved on and he's doing much better.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He is. And
yeah.
He's trying to back, live a proper life.
Hey, back to
life.
Darren. Back to Darren. I remember when he was 5 years old, I bought him a new pair of sneakers. Yeah. And he loved them.
Jeez.
Yeah,
I remember toilet drain, Darren.
because Darren got left with us for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Where was that down near Gilbricks, across in the back of Gilbricks where you used to live?
Clifton Street. Yeah.
That's it.
He lived with us for a long time, and I remember I broke him of the bottle, and I broke him, and I potty trained him.
And you know what, Michael?
My mother dropped them off. And then a week later, she dropped off all his furniture, and...
Don't worry, I'll take care of it.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, and that's what I'm saying, is we forgive Barbara for what she's done, but at the same time, you know, she did make right on a lot of things, but you know what, Mike, we are in the situation we are today because of the certain people in our family who did not do right by us when we were younger.
Right.
You're right. Well, that's why this show is good. I mean, I don't understand why people ain't just giving their opinion. You know?
Right.
You know, I'm not going to, Joey's not going to bite anybody, and neither am I.
Right.
You know? My brother might sell him some ginger root.
We did have a bunch of people last week call in, new callers.
Yeah.
Remember, Joe and Meriden. Remember?
Yeah, you can make root beer out of sarsaparilla.
You got him stuck on the soda now. You got him stuck on the soda.
Well, listen, we had new people call in last week, Mike. The problem is where was all you guys at?
I know.
You know.
When was this? Sunday?
I don't know what day it was, but we had like, I think it was like three new people call in, and they were like, wow, we like listening to your show. But the thing of it is they were really shy, and you could tell they didn't like participating, but they finally did, you know?
Well, I know after Friday night, I was good for nothing, so
no,
I didn't pay attention to anything. I know. And then, of course, I did have all the grandchildren here because it's the last week and before school.
No.
But, hey, Joe, not to change the subject real quick, how did Joseph do in school today?
Oh, he loved it.
I'm sure
it.
Mom, he loved
he
it.
Loved
I'm
it.
Sure Mom would want to know, too.
Yeah, and I wish she
I was
could
waiting
participate,
to hear.
But I have the phone out here, so.
Yeah, he likes school, though.
Oh, no, he loved it. He loved it. He loved it.
Good, good,
today
good.
Was his first day, huh?
Today was the first day of his new life. Yep.
Oh, boy.
His new
how
life.
Long did, how long did he have to stay in school?
Too long, Granny. And you know what? My father said the same thing. It's too long of a day. You know the first thing my little boy said? He said, that school took a long time today.
six and a half hours for a kindergartner. That's too long.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
I always
yeah.
said that. I always said that. Since I moved yeah. to North Carolina, when the twins started kindergarten, I said, what do you mean they go to school from 7:30 to 3?
That's too long.
I said, no wonder why the kids don't learn anything. I turned around and said to the principal, I said, no wonder why your kids are so stupid down here. I said, I'm all tired. They can't learn anything. They didn't like me in school.
Yeah. Well, we don't want to discriminate against North Carolinians, so. But anyway,
yeah.
we're going to go ahead and get ready to wrap it up.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I'm glad
good
he
night,
likes
everybody.
It. Good night.
Wanna,
have a good night,
good
Michael.
Night.
Thank
I want to comment
you
on a couple
too.
Things before you go.
Okay.
All right, go ahead, Joe and Meriden, go ahead.
Of course. We always. You still got 19 minutes to go, and you didn't put your Kennedy intro up there, and that's what got me thinking. You know, President Kennedy, when he's driving through Dallas, you see, you didn't put that up. Well, you know,
I know.
Everybody that was involved in that, Oswald and Ruby, they're all dead. You know what? And nobody's ever going to find the answer. And, you know, Hillary was associated with Benghazi. Well, all 15 of those people that were testified, they're all dead, too. So to give you something to go,
Yeah. Think about.
Close out with that. About that.
What was that, Joe?
How about I close out with that?
You're breaking up. I really can't hear you.
I said, how about I close out with that one? What do you think?
It's your show.
Okay.
You do what you want.
All right,
okay.
Go ahead, everyone. Listen. Good night. Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night, Mom. I'll give you a call.
Okay, now? Right now?
Call now. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea. A new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
President Kennedy's, well, if you missed the beginning of it, shame on you. Good night, everyone. Good job tonight. I really appreciate it. And we'll continue to try to work on the microphone issues. So good night. Take care.
Good night. Bye, Mike. Bye, everybody.